This podcast is brought to you by Towncast Studios. What's Towncast Studios? Why, that's a great question. Towncast Studios is all about creating hyper-local content. Podcasts, video, social media, blogs, and more, telling the stories and sharing the sounds and the sights and the views and the opinions of your community. Imagine a podcast highlighting the new restaurant that just popped up in the neighborhood, or a YouTube video showcasing the redesigned kids' playground near your home, or someone who's sharing all that really important information that came out of the school board meeting, or a place where your mayor or town council are telling you what's new, what's exciting, what's changing, what's under construction, so that you can stay informed. And just imagine having a place where you know what's going on from voices that you can trust. Now imagine you were that trusted voice. Here at Towncast Studios, we're going to help you launch, edit, produce, and publish content that will tell the stories of your community, or what we're calling Towncast. So if you're interested in learning more about how to Towncast or what a Towncast is, head on over to towncaststudios.com or check out our new Towncast podcast at towncastpodcast.com and get started telling the stories of your community today.
Welcome back to the Towncast Podcast. My name is Towncast Joe. Today we have another interview conducted by our founder, Matthew Passy. Today he is speaking to the creators of the Mitten Money Podcast, which I understand is from Michigan. And the name, Matthew, I believe comes from the fact that Michigan is shaped like a mitten?
That is correct. So you've got two parts of the state of Michigan. You've got the main part, and then you've got the little like piece that branches off over the lakes over there. But that bottom piece of it is often, I guess, referred to as a mitten up there. So you've got Kristen Warfel and William Zank of TriStar Trust. They're the hosts of the Mitten Money Podcast. Full disclosure, they are also clients of the podcast consultant. So not only did I have the pleasure of interviewing them, but we have the pleasure of working on, and we've helped them launch this podcast even from the start. And they are some of the like best examples of how a business is using towncasting today, because they are a financial advisory firm. They could have just done another podcast, which like, here's what you do with your money. But, you know, they'd be in a sea of other people doing that kind of stuff. Instead, they go around their home state of Michigan. They talk to business leaders who have really interesting, different, unique success stories. And the kinds of businesses that are housed in Michigan that people just don't even know about. I mean, I honestly think our internal South Jersey podcast that we're going to work on is going to draw a lot of inspiration from what they're doing over here. But they do a really good job of just talking to these business owners, telling their stories, talking about what lessons they've learned. And as a result, they have built up their network, built up their reputation, built up their clients for what they do on a regular basis. And, you know, I think that's a perfect way for a business to use Towncast to their benefit. So And they're just a lot of fun. They're super nice. So I'm really excited to share this conversation with the Mitten Money hosts.
Sounds like a great and successful example of what a Towncast could be. So let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Towncast Podcast, where we highlight and focus those folks using this platform to target their local community in some way, shape, or form. Today we have great guests on the show. We are speaking with William Zank and Kristen Warfel. They are the creators and host of the Mitten Money Podcast. And by the name of it, you might not know what that is targeting, but we're going to get into it right now. William and Kristen, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for inviting us on.
So where does Mitten Money reach out to the community? What community are we targeting over there?
So super simple, and Kristen, feel free to tag in whenever you want to. The whole Mitten Money stick is about mitten. If you were to go think about mittens that you'd go wear, now I know that this podcast may find people in warmer climates, but in colder climates, you generally want to go wear a mitten to help keep your hand warm. So imagine a mitten like the state of the, or at least the lower peninsula of the state of Michigan.
You also could use your second hand to make the upper peninsula. So mitten, the mitten state is Michigan. So we are coming to you from Michigan with Mitten Money.
But we're not mittens money. So we're just focusing on that lower part of the state.
Yes.
And what is it that you folks do out there in Michigan?
Sure. So what our organization does, Chris and I both work at TriStar Trust. I've been there over, I have been over 5 years at this point. How about you, Kristen? A year?
Three years. Three. Going on my fourth.
Yeah, three strong years. And so our organization provides wealth management services to a whole wide slew of individuals, companies, endowments, foundations, all across the different gamut. We also help provide a lot of local, what's the best way of saying this? Help. Here, perfect point for you to go transitioning, Kristen. I know you can sell a lot better than I can.
TriStar Trust is a local wealth management provider. We serve individuals, nonprofits, and businesses with their wealth management needs. So individuals help save them for retirement. Businesses, we have about 100 businesses with almost 7,000 employees that we manage their 401ks or 403bs. And then in the nonprofit sector, we manage their investments or endowments within about 75 different organizations or private foundations.
Let's use that answer.
That's just a little bit more oomph behind it, I think.
Yes, yes.
And I should probably say this up front in full disclosure that William and Kristen are in fact clients of the podcast consultant, and so I've had the pleasure of working with them. But you know, when you were thinking about doing a podcast at first, if I recall, it wasn't always going to have just a Michigan slant to it. What was it that kind of made you think maybe we should just keep that focus on where we live versus trying to reach everybody coast to coast around the globe with, you know, information relevant to what your organization does?
Sure. So taking a step back for a second, Kristen and I have been raving about podcasts for many years prior to even starting the podcast. We listen to podcasts religiously throughout the week. I probably listen to 10 or 15 that I'm subscribed to. Kristen, I know that you also listen to a lot. And so we started to get our ideas teaming together. And just as a backdrop, Kristen works on the marketing side as our director of marketing. I actually work on the investment side. So I have some marketing intelligence a little bit, but not as much as what Kristen does. And so when we started collaborating, started sharing different ideas for podcasts, like, well, if we could help share some of these nice pieces of information that we find useful on podcasts, boy, that'd be really nice and useful, especially to go start one homegrown as part of our professional lives. But as we soon started to think about that for a second, there's a lot of podcasts that we'd like to go model ours after, but we would just be another fish in a big ocean trying to shout into the voids and not really sure who would want to respond or not really sure how that message would resonate more. And so we quickly, with your help and guidance, took a second look at that, decided to narrow in on our local market, and actually found out that we were one of the few local people, especially within our great state, that actually have a focused podcast that goes well outside of what a traditional wealth manager might share. And so your traditional wealth manager might share kind of your boilerplate. Oh, this is how you should do X, Y, and Z. And very script-like. We wanted to go more off the cuff. We wanted to go help out small business owners, be able to go share different things and tools, tips and tricks that they may not find from a Google answer. So if you were to go find, okay, well, how would you go about expanding to a second, third, or fourth location? Well, I'm sure an article could get you to point A, but we want to help you get to point B. And then, Kristen, if you don't mind touching on why we want to focus and why we did focus on those small business owners, I think that'd be a good tail end to this question.
So when William and I started researching this, we actually reached out to, I think it was about 5 different people from coast to coast. We talked to a creator in California and somebody in the Boston area, if I'm not mistaken, and somebody in Michigan. And what we were kind of knowing is we wanted to start a podcast. We were kind of still reaching for what's that target. So we did some data on our folks who do business with us, and we figured out that 10% of them are business owners. And when we talk to those business owners, and what we know from those business owners is it can get a little lonely at the top. So if we could create this 30-ish minute opportunity for them to learn something new, you know, it's like picking up a book and cracking open a book and reading it cover to cover hard. So what can I do in my commute that will make me more successful in my role as a leader? So whether you're a business organization owner or a leader within an organization, we wanted to talk to you. And so then when we started to really hone in on that, the lights just started flickering and we got ideas. We made a lengthy list of potential guests that we wanted to have on. So we knew we were on to something.
And I imagine not only highlighting Michigan-based businesses helped you to better curate an audience who would be interested in hearing about the folks that are offering jobs and creating commerce throughout the state of Michigan and supporting the state in all various types of ways. But I imagine, too, based on what you do, just having those conversations, having those meetings, getting that introduction to these business leaders was also just a benefit. Even if, let's say, the guest didn't ultimately become a TriStar Trust customer, maybe they introduced you to somebody else who did, or they recommended you to somebody else in the area that could be a potential customer.
Absolutely. It's like you want to have that fresh content to be able to put out there, but then you're kind of going, well, am I just regurgitating all the same information? This has allowed us to go from just having a one-on-one conversation at an event, which got taken away from us in the pandemic,
That's true too.
Well, how do we have a conversation with somebody via Zoom to then translate it to be a gift for our audiences as a whole?
So what have you learned or what's been the biggest takeaway from having this podcast with a specific focus on Michigan, whether it be for the podcast itself or just, you know, for the business and for TriStar Trust as a whole?
So I think two lessons come to my mind. So first and foremost, having a little more of a narrow focus can help you pick out and choose what topic areas you want to go cover and then also what guests you want to go think about having on. And so thinking about it from if you wanted to have a podcast reaching more from a national audience, you're having to go serve to, well, what would small business owners in California may feel? How would people in New Jersey or Texas might feel? Well, in comparison, you don't know you're going to know your home state more than practically anyone else versus anyone outside your home state. And so being able to go focus in on Michigan specifically, we know a lot, not only from our personal Rolodex, but from people outside, you know, what are the issues facing Michiganders now?
Yeah, to riff off of that a little bit, we have found people that are local celebrity in their own rights. One of our most popular episodes is from a CPA. These quiet people in the background doing their thing to help their subset of clients. And it was one of our highest shared episodes on social media. And so honestly, Will and I didn't know how people would respond to that. We knew it was going to be helpful information, but it could be a little tricky when you get to this medium where you've got to have some energy. And we didn't have anything based off of how is he going to talk? What's going to happen? Highest shared episode, because he was so proud to be featured, proud of the content he shared, proud to be a part of it, proud of the business that was a part of it. And he helped spread the word with that. So when you talk about from a marketing perspective, having those local celebrities that are in their own right, have their own circles of people, everybody has their own circles of people. So we've been finding these pockets of folks who have been able to share our episodes far and wide, which has increased our reach, which has increased our subscribers. It's just been a beautiful thing.
Going from Kristen's point as well, if you're trying to, what we try to go envision is if you're going to be that top podcast producer. So let's just go say it's right after the Super Bowl, Matt Stafford and the Los Angeles Rams just won it. You obviously want to invite on Matt Stafford, but you are also one of tens of difference of thousands of different podcasts that may want to invite him on. There's only so much possible available free time that Matthew may have to have different interviews, go talk about X, Y, and Z. So to Kristen's point, why not invite your Matt Staffords of your community on that have probably never been on a podcast before? They also feel really well honored to be able to go join your podcast too. And it's just created so many great, fruitful conversations, so many great relationships that we've also been able to go form out in the community too. And just so many little mini lessons that I've been blessed and Kristen and I have been blessed to take a part of over the last year and a half.
I love that. Yeah, you know, everybody wants to talk to Professor Galloway, right? Because he's a, you know, an expert on business and, you know, says very, very controversial things about Twitter and Musk and Tesla, right? So like everybody's trying to get him on their podcast, but to your point, he appears on every podcast and he, you know, doesn't have a lot of time. And right, there are community leaders, business leaders, really interesting people who are not invited onto, you know, all these different podcasts, and you have the opportunity to bring them on and get that unique voice that people are not hearing, and especially your local community has no exposure to. So I think that's a really great point. Kristen, since you do have that marketing expertise and that background, I'm wondering, are there things that you have done to help grow the podcast specifically to the local community that others thinking about a geo-local podcast could learn from?
Yes, as you would guess, social media is king when it comes to this and making sure that we get out there, not just once, you want to be posting it a couple times and kind of drawing the line, connecting the dots for people when they are looking at and listening to. So for instance, when we had an HR mini series, we promoted those two separate episodes because we post every other week. But then Will and I were just talking about how it's still on everybody's mind about how do you get people in your door to actually want to work for you. So we're like, why don't we reshare those two episodes as a series so that somebody can know we've already done some research on this. Check it out. So we'll reshare the information and put it back out there. We also have an email list that we'll follow up with. And in the works is we're talking about how can we get these folks together that we've already had on the pod to actually talk, Like how that's our next step is we want to get to the point where we've known how cool all these people are and we think that they can make connections amongst themselves. So how can we be seen as the connector to help them form additional relationships? So that's a next step for us. But social has been our main, followed by email. And then our third will be when we're at events or sponsoring events, we always plug that we have the podcast out there as a resource for individuals.
Well, and of course, there it is, right? When you are promoting a podcast nationally, you can't be everywhere. But when you're promoting something to your local community, it's everywhere you go, right? You walk out the door, you are in that community, you are talking to and running into people who could be your potential audience, which might not be the case if you have a national focus. I wonder too, you were saying trying to get these people together, if because it's a local focus, could you do in-person events again right now that things are opening up and it's getting a lot easier, right? Could you do a lunch and learn or some sort of event where you bring one of these founders up on stage to talk and treat it like a podcast episode, but you have an audience and it's a little bit more intimate because it's right there.
Should we do it, Will?
Absolutely. No, I think I want to say probably a month or two ago, you had mentioned that there is a good possibility of possibly doing some type of an event like that. And to your point, Matt, it's a great way to go connect former guests on the podcast together with potential new ones. And I think the best benefit that not a lot of people talk about from the local perspective now, I have only reached out to, well, I think all the people who come on are successful and talentful in their own right. But if you think about, I can only imagine trying to reach out to all these A-list celebrities. So Matthew McConaughey, Matt Stafford, they would probably have your success rate from getting them on might be 5, 10, 15%. And from the local perspective, gosh, I would say our success rate is almost 90 or 95% for the people that we target to go reach out to and want to go invite on. From the local perspective, that success rate is also a lot higher. So I know that that was one of our biggest kind of, I wouldn't say worry points, but we were also worried like, well, we would have to go invite them on. But what happens if too many people say no? Well, we've had the opposite come true where so many people that we end up inviting on do want to come on, do want to share their story. And they also feel great and honored to be a part and share their story too.
And even introduce you to other folks who they think should be on, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So if we are in the Michigan area, where can we learn more about the Mitten Money podcast?
You can go to mittenmoney.com, which will direct you over to our TriStar Trust page where you can learn more about the podcast and us.
And of course, you can find Mitten Money on all podcast platforms where you normally consume your content. Kristen William of Mitten Money, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Towncast podcast. I'm Joe Gangemi, aka Towncast Joe, and on behalf of Matthew Passy and everyone here at Towncast Studios, we appreciate your support. With the Towncast podcast, we hope to provide value to you, the listener, by educating, entertaining, and enlightening on the potential of what podcasting and towncasting can be. We really believe it can change the world for the better. If you want to keep up with Towncast, you can subscribe to the Towncast podcast so you don't miss an episode. You can also connect with us on social and feel free to send us a message anytime via towncastpodcast.com. So I'll see you on the next one, Towncasters. Until then, keep on sharing the sounds of your community.